Hello, welcome to the Pit Imps Podcast, brought to you by the Brainstorm Brewery. This is episode number 76. I'm your host, Angelo, and during these dog days of summer, I'm back to you, I'm back to you once again with my brother, Mr. Brother Ryan.
What up, what up?
What's going on, Ryan?
Oh, man, not shit, dude. Fucking chilling, just talking to you. It's pre-cast, getting ready to go over some coverage here.
Yep. You know what? I feel kind of bad. Like, we just completely glossed over the fact that last week we hit 75.
Yeah, we did kind of just not make a big deal about that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it kind of is a milestone. I mean, it's not like a major one, but it's a milestone. I mean, we're 3/4 through the game.
Kind of. I mean, we got 100 to get to, so.
Oh, I mean, that's what I mean. We're 3/4 through the game.
Yeah.
We made a bigger deal about 10 than we did 75.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty sad. Oh, well. We're on 76 now, so we missed that chance. Darn.
Well, hey, 76 is, that's greater than 75, so hell yeah.
Hell yeah, 76, fuck yeah!
fuck yeah, 76!
So, we had a lot of limited going on over the weekend, and then we also had an SCG. But let's start in the nation's capital at Grand Prix DC.
I gotta grab a beer. You go ahead and start this limited.
Seriously? You're gonna grab a beer now? Really?
I'm here to help you with this. I'll be here to help you.
Okay, so our top eight broke down to Mike Sigrist, which he, Siggy, best way to put this, he's an old pro. Kind of disappeared for a while. Now he's back. Yuya Watanabe, 21 Grand Prix top eight, 7 wins.
Yeah, you should know who he is.
Yeah, he's good. Wing Chun Yam, I do believe he went day one undefeated, so yeah, that's pretty cool. Alex John, he's a name you should have heard of. William Huey Jensen, I don't know, I've never heard of this guy. Christian Calcano, another, you know, pretty big name. Charles League is from the Richmond area. And if anybody out there has ever listened to the Scrubland podcast, they bring this guy up a lot. Like, he's one of their good friends. I got to meet this guy a couple times. Good dude. Awesome beard.
That is a sweet beard.
But, yeah. I got to congratulate him. This is his first Pro Tour qualifying. First time he's qualified for a Pro Tour by making his top eight. So, you know, good up, Mr. Charles League. And then David Falk. So that was our top eight, and those are the players in it. And the way it broke down was William Jensen got to play Wing Chun Yam. And Wing Chun Yam wins 2-1. Mike Sigrist over Christian Calcano, 2-1. David Falk over Alexander John, 2-0. And poor Charles League, he gets to go up against Yuya Watanabe, 2-0. Yuyu.
Yeah, that was...
We'll explain what happened there in a minute.
Pretty much a clinic.
Yeah. Yuya Watanabe beats Alexander John 2-0, and Siggy beats Wing Chun Yam 2-0, and then Siggy, Mike Sigrist, beats Yuya 2-1. So, like, you know, a couple pros in the finals.
Yeah, but man, Yuya in that semifinals match against John.
Yeah.
I don't know how he won. What was it, game two, I think it looked like? There was just no way.
Dude, his deck just found ways.
It was weird.
It was very weird. So here, look, we'll just get over this real fast. Originally, he basically went mono black. He was flashing green, and this is what, you know, everyone thought, okay, yeah, he's going green because his like second pick was an Eidolon of Blossoms, and he was picking up some green stuff for two packs. And then he gets to Theros, picks a frickin' Nimbus Naiad over
a Nessian Asp, I want to say.
Maybe. No, it wasn't that. It was over the 2 damage and 2 life card for black, for 2 black mana.
I thought there was some good green in that pack, too. He could
have. There was some decent, but I mean, grabbing the black card was the right choice in that situation. At least I thought, because he had so much black already. Oh, what the freakish cure.
Yeah, it was a cure.
Yeah, so he was a freakish cure sitting in this pack, and it's like, I'm going to take the Nimbus Naiad. And you're like, what?
Hey,
and then later on, he grabs another Nimbus Naiad, and he gets a Ordeal of Thassa. And you're like, what the hell is he doing? And he decided that he was going to go mono black, splash blue, and the only blue main board, I believe, was the 2 Nimbus Naiads. I mean, yeah. I could be losing my mind here, but...
He's
a Shipwreck Singer. But that was all third pack picks.
Yeah. It was weird.
Kind of insane. I mean, it was a really good mono black deck. It kind of took advantage of Constellation pretty well with the Grim Guardian and multiple other things. I mean, he had the Brain Maggot. He took a Pain Seer and he just basically ran it as a bear.
Oh, yeah.
2 Marsh Mist Titans, which he was playing extremely early. It's always good to get like a turn 4, you know, 4-5. Why not? Huh, yeah. The winning deck, Siggy's. This was your blue-red deck, which was kind of weird because him and Calcano both went blue-red and they played in the first round.
And we haven't seen blue-red have that much success at this level.
Right. It's kind of been a new thing that's been showing up online. People have been drafting blue-red fairly decently. But to see it show up and win a GP kind of shocks me. I'm not going to lie. His deck, when you look at it, I mean, he's like, I got a Shipbreaker Cracker, and I got an Arbiter of Ordeals. I have a Chrome Conscriptor, and I have all kinds of things to stop you early on, like Triton Cavalry, Sigiled Starfish, Storm Chaser, Chimera. He has 3 Nyxborn Rollickers. That's a little weird. But he also has an Hour of Need, a Voyage's End, a Hubris, a Magma Spray. Like, he's dealing little things early in the game, and then when he gets in the late game, it's like, if I stick a Shipbreaker Kraken, like, I win, right?
Yeah, why not?
If I go monstrous, I win. That's kind of the way that card works. So, he rode that to a victory. Mr. Charles League, I just need to talk about this because, you know, I know this guy. He went green-blue, had a Prognostic Sphinx. His deck is really good. He just kind of ran into a Buzzsaw in Yuya. I mean, Fleet Feather, Cockatrice, Golden Hind, you know, the things you want to see in a blue-green deck, he has.
Yeah, Guardians of Meletus, which I actually like in this format. Like, it's a great blocker against all the heroic dudes.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not an ideal 3-drop. It really isn't. Not in this type of deck, at least. I mean, because this is fairly, you know, aggro in a way, because he's like these Thassa's Emissary as Nessie and Ass, Nylea's Disciple to get him a little further. I mean, he does. The thing is, he can power out so fast with the Voyaging Satyr and the Golden Hind.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it might not necessarily look aggro, but for limited, I mean, his turn 5 drop can come down. Like,
I would put this more into like a ramp.
Yeah, it's a ramp.
Mid-range, like, ramp type strategy.
Yeah, but he ran into that Buzzsaw, but he drafted a good deck, so I don't feel bad for him, but let's face facts, anybody who makes their first top 8 of a GP and sits across from Yuya probably aren't going to do as well as they normally would. Fair?
Yeah.
Okay, Wing Chung Yam. He was on red-white heroic, just all the heroic.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, this isn't something we really need to talk about because it's white-red heroic. If you don't know how that works, go draft once. You're bound to run into it. We had another blue-green from Alexander John. His was a little slower, but it did have a Pelucranos, and Pelucranos helped. He kind of punted against Yuya.
Yeah.
And he had the Pelucranos down, and he just, like, basically let it die to a... Oh, crap. He equipped it with a Leaf Crown Dryad.
And it died to Feast of...
Feast of Dreams, when he knew Yuya had the Feast of Dreams, basically. And it's like, why would you equip that there? Yeah. Like, diversify a little bit. Make him use his Baleful Eidolon to kill your card. Because you know the Pupanucranus is probably going to die. But make him use something to kill it. Or just sit there and wait until you can monstrous it and kill something important of his.
Yeah.
He kind of gave that game to him. Oh, well, he still made a hell of a lot further than I would. Let's see, David Falk, he was on the white-black slow plan. It's just not a bad plan, it's just the slow plan. Christian Calcano, like I said earlier, he was on the blue-red. It's just all kinds of Chimera everywhere. He's a perplexing Chimera.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a strange word. Yeah,
that's strange. Christian Calcano, man, he's just waiting, like, he's always right there at top, but doesn't, like, he's like the top 8 guy that just... I'm rooting for him, man. Like, I want him to get a win.
Right.
It seems like he just, he never just pulls it out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'd be happy getting there. He'll eventually, if he keeps getting there, he'll break through and get that W. Strangely, in the first round, William Jensen lost to another red-white deck, red-white heroic deck. And when you look at the decks head-to-head, Jensen's is so much better.
Yeah, he lost to Wing Chun pretty quick.
Yeah, having that Iroas did not help William Jensen at all. Like, he just never could find the right time to stick it, or the one time he did stick it, he needed one more red, and he'd have went absolutely berserk, and he never saw it.
Yeah.
Kind of shitty. Ah, well, that's why you play the game.
Sweet deck, though.
Oh, my God. Is it?
His deck is nuts.
He's just like, I have a turn one drop, either Favorite Hotlight or Soldier of the Pantheon, you know, or Nyxborn Rollicker. Oh, I also have an Acroan Skyguard. Like, he has everything you want. Yeah. And then he has an Iroas.
Is it me, or in this format, too, I'm noticing, like, I don't know. I always thought you wanted, like, at most, like, 6 spells and, like, upwards of, like, 17 dudes. And, like, it seems like in this format, like, especially this top 8, like, everyone's on, like, 15 or less.
I don't know. I found myself running between 13 and 16. to be real honest. A lot of the instances.
Alexander Don at 17 is like the only one with like, you know, more than 15 creatures. It's weird.
Yeah, there's just so many good spells right now that, you know, you still gotta pack in your removal and things like that because there is so many good spells. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think the creature count has gone down a little bit. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact there's not as much bestow creatures. Cause when there was more bestow creatures, you could run, you know, like triple Theros, you could just run 20 creatures because, you know, how many of those were bestow?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was GP Washington.
Yay. Done with that limited.
Oh, shut up. It's not just a good format. It's the best format. But Jeremy Dazani takes down Grand Prix Milan.
Oh, that's too bad. Sorry, Harry.
Yeah, I know. So Jeremy Dazani and Serafin Welliger, and Dazani wins 2-1. Evgeny Pestov versus Marco Carvalho. Carvalho wins 2-1. Carvalho ends up losing to Dazani 2-1, putting Dazani in the finals. Guido Cittino versus Nico Boni, and Boni wins 2-1. Ivan Flock versus Timothy Simino. Flock wins 2-0. You know, you can't gloss over the fact that this is a stacked top eight.
I'm looking at the names, yeah.
So Nico Boni over Ivan Flock, 2-0. So that leaves Nico Boni versus Jeremy Dazani. And Dazani wins 2-1. Like, this is legitimately a stacked top eight. Dazani, you know, known pro player. Nico Boni, known pro player. Ivan Flock, known pro player. Timothy Simino, didn't he just, like, win a pro tour?
I don't know, but I've heard of him. I know he's good.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. I will say this, the semifinals, stacked.
Yeah,
it's a good top eight there as far as players go. Deck lists, I mean, Nico Boni, he was on that green with a little bit of red and a little bit of blue. The red and the blue were basically splashes for the most part. I mean, the blue was more of anything. The red was kind of a splash just for Polish Crusher. But most of his creatures were like all green except for a couple Chorus of the Tides, the blue side of the Fleet Feather Cockatrice, and the dark, Dacra Mystic. He's only running 11 creatures, Ryan.
Yeah, very low.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, it's probably going down a little bit.
Something I've been noticing in this format, it just seemed weird to me. It went from, like, 17, 18 dudes to, like, people actually risk, like, 11 creatures sounds just, like, dangerously low.
Yeah, I really think it has to do with bestow basically disappearing. You lose, you know, a whole pack of bestow, and it really makes a difference. Ivan Flock, he was on the black-white plan. And, you know, he has a Forlorn Tsunami in there, and if you're running that, you're probably playing wrong.
Well, he won.
I know, but it's a Tsunami. I don't know. But he does have an Underworld Coinsmith. I love that card.
What's, Underworld? Okay, yeah, that's the pay a life, they lose a life, yeah.
Yep, and, you know, when, it has Constellation, so when an enchantment comes in, you gain a life. So you can really work that.
Yeah, and he's running 20 dudes.
15.
Dazani?
Oh, I'm on Ivan Flock.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was still, my computer reloaded.
Oh, okay. So Serafin Welliger, he's got 16 creatures. He's on black green, splash red for Polish Crusher.
Polish Crusher.
So two of them showed up in this top eight draft.
Yeah, it's good.
Two of those got cracked.
That's weird.
In eight packs. That's fucking crazy. Guido Cittito, he's got 15 creatures, so, you know, we are still seeing that drop there. And he's on green-blue. Interesting, interesting, interesting. So we are definitely seeing a little drop in creatures. I'm not going to lie.
Outside of Dazani, who's like all in on him.
Right. Carvalho, 15 creatures, and he's got that red-white going. Mostly red, but he has an Annex and Psymedi. So, you know, that puts in work. Jeremy Dazani, he was just like, I'm playing creatures, 20 of them, go fuck yourself. And I'm going to win a tournament because I have 20 creatures. And that's the white-blue go-fuck-yourself deck.
Yep.
Yeah, that's actually a nice deck. What he put together there was pretty good. I mean, nothing really outstanding, but well put together, just flat-out deck. See, we got another white-black deck from Timothy Simino. This is your white-black slow deck, you know, Scholar of Athreos. Holy crap, he's running three colors. There's blue in here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he just, by the way, you asked, like, if you won something recently. I think he was with the French team that won Worlds.
Or okay.
Yeah, he was on that squad.
Okay, well, I knew something like, you know, a pro tour or something. You know, he was right up there with something big. And then, Pestov.
Yeah, well, he won the World Magic Cup with the French team, and he won, GP London last year too, but.
Okay, Pestov. Dude, he has a Karanos. That's fun. That's actually real fun. He has Scourge of Fleets. That's kind of cool. This is not your fast blue-red deck. It's just your blue-red deck. Pinnacle of Rage. And it's supposed to be fast, I guess. I guess Karanos kind of makes up for everything.
Yeah.
Yay. Congratulations, Jeremy Giazzoni.
This top five cards from GP Milan is interesting.
Okay, what are they?
Well, only two colors represented, which is weird. They got Hydra Broodmaster at five.
If you've ever played it in Limited, you can understand that completely.
Well, yeah, it's a beast in Limited for sure.
Yeah, it's like, I untap, I win.
I don't know if we've seen it do anything really yet, but. Yeah, it says that it was in a couple featured matches and proved to be pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, I think I saw one person pop it off for 4/4s.
Yeah, Krufix's Insight at 4. Okay.
That's interesting.
Seems good. I mean, you could put up to 3 enchantment cards into your hand. That's really sick.
Yeah.
His
top 5 is strange.
Yeah, Evangel of Helioid at 3.
That has gotten a lot better. As the sets have gone on. I'm not going to lie. Like, it was not good in Theros.
6 mana for a 1/3 that may make 1 token.
It usually makes a few now. Like, at one time, it wasn't the best. Like I said, like in Theros, the 6 drop that did this wasn't good enough.
I would think it's even worse now with all the removal we have.
Yeah, but people were playing more things out just as things. You know what I mean? It seems to work out better because the format slowed down a little bit more. That this as a 6 drop is a fine 6 drop because typically you'll get like your 1/3 and then like, you know, you're always going to get 2 more things, but then you'll get, you know, typically you'll get 3 or 4 more things.
Yeah, it does say that in Jeremy Dazzani's top 8 that it played a critical role in his semifinal victory, so.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could just, this game, like the format right now, like you're talking about, it does get to that state where it's like, okay, we have a stalemate on board here, and it's just whoever kind of can push that one thing through. And this comes down in, like, especially in a stalled board state, you're going to get more of the 1/1s, and all you need is, like, you may be in that place where all you need is 1 or 2 of them, you know, to get through.
Yeah, 1 or 2 1/1s. It's like, okay, I just dropped 4 creatures on the board this turn. And they go, oh. Because, I mean, he is a 3-for-1, flat out. Like, you're getting 3 cards off of him. And,
yeah.
You know, so if you have one other, if you're, like you said, if you're in a stalled board state, dude, you can drop 6 things off this. And just be like, bang, I have 6 cards now that you didn't have. I'm winning this race.
Yeah, I like it. Fauna Fertility, that's a weird one at 2.
Yeah, I mean, it was really good when the set first came out, but like a lot of people began to write it off. I know Channel Fireball kind of quit caring about it. But, okay.
And God Favor General at 1.
That one is the worst of those, and somehow it's at 1.
Really, really weird. I guess it says it has a deadly combination with Harvest Guard Alcyons.
Yeah, you can make them, you can prevent all damage dealt to them, which lets you untap to put 2 more 1/1s into play. I mean, you can get a little crazy between the 2 of those, I suppose, but, eh.
Yeah.
I ain't buying it.
It's weird. I think they're just, kissing Dazzani's ass because he's mentioning like all of these, like.
Yeah, I see what they're selling and I'm just not buying.
These were like the top cards that Dazzani did something cool with. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Yeah. So Portland happened too, and that was, SCG.
Yeah, real format. Yay.
Is it really? Okay. You're right. Legacy was played. We have a top 8 consisting of Ben Warshaw, I'm guessing, Josh Ravitz. Hey, I got that name right. Michael Phelps.
Not the swimmer, but yeah.
Mitch Gross, Quentin Rutherford, Jesse Harper, Gabe Carlton Barnes, Robert Hunsaker. Hunsaker wins 2-0, Jesse Harper 2-1, Mitch Gross 2-1, Ben 2-0, Mitch Gross beats Ben 2-1, and Robert Hunsaker 2-0. Robert Hunsaker wins 2-1 over Mitch Gross. And Ryan, oh my god, what were they playing?
Well, Rob Hunsaker was that guy this weekend, you know, that guy.
That guy
with Naya Hexproof. He had to be that guy. And basically just, he was able to get out, like, I'm pretty sure he just put unflinching courage on something and beat his mono blue opponent, Mitchell Gross, but, who played mono blue exceptionally well. Like, if you are playing mono blue, like, there's few players to watch, like Sam Black, Sam Pardee, Ravitz has been proving himself. This guy was I thought his skill level with the deck was awesome. He was a lot of fun to watch. His play got him through some tough matchups, and I felt he just kind of got a little unlucky in the finals. And I mean, it happens. Nia Hexproof, it finally got there. It's posted some top 16s in recent months, but it's never cracked through. And yeah, I don't know. I played this deck for a couple weeks and I absolutely hated it. It's like, was the worst feeling ever I had playing it. Like, it was just totally mindless. Like, you don't even have to do math like you do with other aggro decks. Like, if you go like turn one, Glade Cover, and turn two, Madcap Skills, the game's just over. Like, I guess he avoided all the people running Celestial Flare and all the people running, Control basically this weekend. He had to have, because he avoided all the Supreme Verdicts to make it to the top eight.
Yeah. That's
my biggest problem with the deck, is it just
folds to that.
Yep. Every time, like, you just can't beat it. So
I gotta say, I watched a little bit of the finals and it was interesting. I mean, it was not the two decks I expected to see when I turned on the finals.
Well, I expected Mono Blue to be in the top eight, but
yeah, but I didn't expect these two decks to be in the finals. Like, that just was not what I was expecting.
Yeah. Mono Black in third. Nothing. I mean, exciting there on Lifebane Zombie. Knock it off, people. Fucking Night Vale Spectre, please. Leave your Life Bane Zombies in the fucking sideboard where they belong.
Yeah, junk or jund midrange is slowly dying. You don't need those.
Well, and it's just Night Vale Spectre. A, it's 100 times better in the mirror match.
Yeah.
It's 100 times better against any of the aggro decks because it blocks all the little red weenies and all the little white guys and, you know.
There was a period of time, probably about month and a half, where it was right to go the other way.
Well, yeah.
The Life Bane Zombie, because there was so much jund midrange.
Yeah,
but we're not seeing it anymore. So, I mean, you're probably right. You might want to go back.
We saw it cost Jadeen a potential GP championship last weekend in Chicago when she lost to Bloom, who was running he was running Night Vale Spectres, and she had Lifebane Zombie, and Night Vale Spectre just pulled her pants down. So.
Yep. So let's see, fourth place, we have Junk Midrange.
Yep.
This is pretty
much cool.
What talking about.
Yeah, he got some bad beats. I thought also, but his deck, man, was fucking, it was fun to watch. It was cool.
Okay, fifth place, Mono Black Devotion. Sixth place, Mono Black Aggro. Seventh place, Mono Black Devotion.
I do like me some Mono Black.
And eighth place, Mono Blue. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different decks in the top eight. But one of them is still Mono Black, even though it's aggro instead of Devotion.
Well, there's two Devotions in the top eight, fifth and seventh.
Right, right. Well, fifth, seventh, and third.
Third, yeah. Three. So Mono Black. Mono
Blues, yeah. Mono Black, Anaya in the junk.
Yeah. I mean, nothing. I'm not seeing anything too crazy in the top 16 overall, really.
No, a couple Bant Controls, a green-red monster, a couple different devotions that centered on black.
I like this Bant Control, man. I've been talking about it. I don't like this Elixir of Immortality this dude's running, but I like this.
I don't mind it.
I mean, Frank Laporte took down a 5K with it recently in Florida. I was talking about it the other week on Tap and Sack, I believe. Yeah, and, I don't know. I think Kiora is really, really good.
Yeah,
I don't like this version of it. I like the Bant Control list with.
I like a little more creatures, but yeah, I do think you need the Elixir.
I like the Caryatid Enforcer
because,
you know, that slows the aggro decks down a bit. And it also, I was reading, Frank's article he posted about it, and, he said that a lot of people think it's counterintuitive, like this guy probably did in ninth place, to run creatures in Supreme Verdict. But the whole thing is that watch Magic lately, and Supreme Verdict's only popping off like 2-3 dudes. Like, it's not the all out, like, it's not blowing up a bunch of stuff.
No, unless somebody has a bunch of rats on board and you drop right at the right time, it's not killing a bunch of stuff. It's like 2-3 things.
Something. Yeah, in game one of the control mirrors, it might hit a bunch of Elspeth tokens, but like, otherwise it's just underwhelming. So the whole point he was running it is not only does it like help him hit, you know, his land draws or whatever, and then the carrieted mana fixes, but, which is important in a three color deck, And this guy here is running Mutavolt, something Frank absolutely just did not do. That's just way too greedy.
I don't know. When I built this, when I had my version, I had two Mutavolts. I never really had mana problem.
I'd run mana confluence over Mutavolt in the three color list.
Yeah. Confluence three wasn't color. Out yet when I built it, but
yeah, I think Frank ran two in his build of one or two. But yeah, so the creatures force your opponent, like, especially the aggro decks that can't get around the 0-3 and the 2-4, they gotta overextend their board, right?
Yep.
So when you're popping off your Supreme Verdict, you're getting way more value out of it. You're popping it off when they don't have a hand left instead of them having three or four dudes left, and you're just, you have to play it on turn four to survive. This, the creatures in the band control, like, kinda like force your opponent to overextend. And then you Supreme Verdict for a lot more value.
Yeah, I don't know. And, genius. I mean, that's actually worst case scenario. I mean, best case scenario is you get out like a turn four or five Elspeth.
Well, yeah.
I mean, these things can happen too. And it's just like, okay, now all of your, you know, three ones mean nothing to me because I have an Elspeth.
Well, yeah. Or you just wipe their board and then you have room for your tokens to just start beating them freely.
Right. So, I mean, the ramp side of it is not to be overlooked because, you know, turn three Kiora is easy to do. Turn three Jace is actually fairly easy to do. I mean, I've done them both multiple times if you have the carry attitude.
Yeah. Yeah. But the whole Supreme, his whole theory on the creatures and Supreme Verdict, I thought it was pretty fucking smart. I wouldn't have thought of it that way. It's like kind of a way to force your opponent into like emptying their hand, overextending, and then get this like max value out of the verdict.
Yeah, it's really well thought out.
So,
like, I do like the little strategy behind that. That's pretty good.
It seems interesting. Yeah,
we'll put a bow on standard for now. Legacy, James Wynn versus Mark Mayer. Wynn wins 2-0.
Wynn wins.
Yes, Christopher Weiss versus Brad Rutherford. Rutherford wins 2-1. Neil Henley versus Zach Murray. Neil Henley wins 2-0. John Torres versus Michael Swales. Hope I pronounced that right. Yeah. Swales wins 2-0. Swales over Henley 2-1. Wynn over Rutherford 2-1. And James Wynn wins it all 2-1. Top 16 deck list. Look like so. James Wynn was on Sharpness Bug. We have blue-white-red Miracles. See, I don't know if I want to call this countertop. I probably still do, but it's not as crazy. Only three counterbalance. Fucking countertop. Sneak and Show in third. Fourth place, we have blue-white-red Delver. Fifth place, we have Jund.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always like seeing, I don't like Jund, but in Legacy, I like seeing the top eight just because to me, it's one of the more fair.
Yeah, it's actually a very fair, like, toolbox deck.
Is this the guy that was on coverage that was terrible at playing it?
Like I said, dude, I was watching DC like crazy. There was limited going on and you know me.
Apparently, people were posting about it on the page. That the guy was so bad that on one of the feature matches, his Esper opponent made a sign that said, "I'm sorry," and held it up to the camera because he wouldn't concede to the opponent, like, doing the punishing fire thing because,
he might mess it up.
So bad that he was like, "This guy is going to mess up." Like, so he made a note and apologized for making us sit there.
Chris Weiss is on Elves. Oops, all spells from John Torres.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
I love some oops all spells.
What is oops all spells? That sounds cool.
Oops, there's no land. It's all spells.
There really is no land.
There's no lands. It's oops all spells. So it has Angel of Glory's Rise, for those who like play good magic. You've never heard of this card.
That's not true. Angel of Glory's Rise was in a sick, has had some sick, tricks pulled with it in, reanimator strategies in standard and in legacy, like.
Yeah, that's what it does. It does some reanimator things. I mean, but realistically, even when it was in standard, it would pop up and make you go,
no.
It wasn't an every week thing, man.
Su Xing Kuo ran a sick deck with this, yeah, it wasn't an every week thing, but the people playing that, there was like the two reanimator variants, and I think people eventually settled on the more like Thragtusk Restoration Angel one, and then there was the one designed about getting all the humans you can into your graveyard.
Yeah.
And then popping thing.
Angel of Glory's Eyes off, yeah. So basically what this is it is a freaking, words. Damn it, I just had the word in my head and you kept talking. It's a dredge deck, basically.
Dredge,
it doesn't run like dredge. It runs completely different. It uses, like, Balustrade Spy to put things into the graveyard. Elder Spirit Guide to get you mana. Laboratory Maniac for, you know, a game win. Narcomedia, because when Narcomedia is put into your graveyard from your library, you may put it onto the battlefield. Simeon Spirit Guide, more freaking land. Street Wraith, that's just a cycling card. Tinderwall, more mana. Undercity Informer, combos with Laboratory Maniac. Everyone remember this little combo from Limited?
Yeah.
This gets played in a Legacy deck. Wild Cantor, which can make you a little bit of mana. Azami, Lady of Scrolls, just lets you draw like crazy. And those are your creatures. So your spells are Chromox, Lotus Petal. There's your main land creators. And then you work with some other stuff from there. You have a Bridge from Below, 4 Cabal Ritual, 4 Dark Ritual. Mana. 4 Metamorphos. I mean, there's a little bit of fixing. 3 Summoner's Pack, 2 Cabal Therapy, a Dread Return, and a Gitaxian Probe. You just create a bunch of mana, and basically your goal is, you can pull off the Angel of Glory Eyes win, but your main goal appears to be your Laboratory Maniac Undercity Informer, and that is gross.
That is pretty gross.
That is just absolutely gross. Goblin Charbelcher in the sideboard, because you can switch this deck into a Belcher deck real easy.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. I just saw that. That is interesting.
Yeah, you can turn this into Belcher, like, right now. 4 Lion's Eye Diamond again, because we're going to turn this into Belcher. 1 more Tinderwall, because we're turning it into Belcher. 3 Pact of Negation, you know, when you absolutely got to counter something right before you go off. Well, why not have Pact of Negation? And 3 Spoils from the Vault. This is 1 black. This is a Mirrodin card. Original Mirrodin.
Can I ask you a question real quick? Why would you want to turn this into a Belcher deck? And, like, what matchup, like, and what situation? Is that, like, really, you think, the game plan every time post-board?
I think so.
Just completely to just fuck with the opponent's head?
I honestly think so.
You think they go Belcher game 2 and then back to that game?
Well, the difference between Belcher and Lab Maniac deck is really, like, you're waiting for him to set up, and you're like, okay, he doesn't have a Laboratory Maniac, I have turns. Doesn't have a Laboratory Maniac, I have turns. Oh, shit, he just dropped a Belcher. I'm screwed. You know what I mean? Like, instead of saying, I still got a little bit of time, it's just, you're going to sideboard for one matchup, and then he's just changed his deck completely to something different. It's kind of cute, but, you know, in Legacy it works once in a while. So Spoils of the Vault, that's his last one. It's for 1 black, and it mirrored in card, like I said, and it's an instant. You name a card, you reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal the name card, and you put that card into your hand. Remove all other cards revealed this way from the game. You lose 1 life for each of the removed cards. That is when you absolutely need something. You can go dig. Or kill yourself. That's always fun, too.
Yeah.
Yay, kill yourself.
Interesting top 16 overall.
Yeah. We had Death and Taxes in 12th. We had Metalworker in 16th.
And Burn still in the top 16. This is like unheard of. 2 weeks in a row, this fucking card. And man.
Dude, Eidolon.
Eidolon of the Great Rebel, man. Is that really made Burn?
Yeah, very viable.
That's crazy. Burn is showing up. Yeah, I like that. Death and Taxes is still hanging around the top 16. What is this Metalworker? What the hell is Metalworker?
Okay, I already clicked out of that. Okay, let me see. Metalworker's a mud
just
deck.
Just get Harn down really fucking early and win the game?
Let me just double check it real quick. I want to see exactly what this deck list looks like. I mean, it's usually just like a normal mud deck for the most part. And see, Blightsteel Colossus. There's
a... Wait, how do you play a Blightsteel?
That's off of your Kadatha Forge Master.
Okay.
Okay, use your Kadatha Forge Master to put out a Blightsteel, and then you can win. Lodestone Golem to slow your opponent down. Metalworker, reveal any number of artifact cards in your hand. Add 2 colorless mana to your mana pool for each card revealed this way. Every one of your cards, short of a few of the lands, is going to be this, so. Sundering Titan, because, you know, it's Sundering Titan. This card is fucking amazing. When he enters the battlefield or leaves the battlefield, you choose a land of each basic land type and destroy those lands. And because everyone's running dual lands,
it's you pretty can good. Blow up a I saw it played on Friday night out of a guy I know running Blue Tron.
Sweet. Wormcoil Engine, because that's another one of your big win cons. You can basically force out a Karn, a Wormcoil Engine, an Ascendering Titan, or a Blightsteel Colossus very fast. And a lot of times it comes off of the back of a Kadatha Forge Master. Like, when people are playing against this, they try to counter every Forge Master that comes. Your spells are 4 Chalice of the Void, 4 Grim Monolith. Yay!
Hard.
What?
Grim Monolith. I love that card.
Yeah, it's very good. One Staff of Domination, because, you know, you can go infinite there. Two Staff of Nins.
Love it.
Four Trinisphere. Sweet. Two Karn Liberated. His lands are as such, and this is a post deck. Four Cloud Post, four Glimmer Post, four Vesuvius. So there's 12 posts right there. Four Wasteland, four City of Traders, and four Ancient Tombs. A sideboard that's chock full of more wind cons, a Batter Skull and Ensnaring Bridge, two Lightning Greaves, two Ratchet Bomb, two Spine of Ishsa. That's funny. Oh, that's funny. That is so funny.
What is?
Spine of Ishsa, okay. It enters the battlefield, you can destroy Tarmanet permanent. When it dies, you return, or when it's destroyed, you return it to your hand. So you can just like...
That mana spell though in Legacy.
Yeah, but it, you gotta keep in mind it's on a post deck.
Yeah.
This is like turn three, man. This is not that difficult.
That's true. They could hard cast Emrakul.
Yeah, boy. See, what's our bounce spell? How do we bounce our spine back to our hand?
Ratchet Bomb, I don't know.
I don't see a way to bounce. Oh wait, we use a Kadatha Forge Master, I suppose. That doesn't really bounce it, but it sacrifices it.
Exactly.
It bounces it. Yeah, okay. Two Tormod's Crypt, the Platinum Angel, an Emrakul, the Aeon's Torn, two Awe's Dust, and one Eye of Ugin. So you can switch to, you know, your normal post deck with the Emrakul, Awe's Dust, and Eye of Ugin type deal. Sweet. Yeah, that's Metal Worker. Create a bunch of mana real fast off of said Metal Worker.
Seems good.
And go on to play very unfair cards. Very unfair cards.
Hey, it's Legacy. Why not?
Yeah, and speaking of unfair, guys, do you play MTGO? Do you have something before Windows 7 as your operating system? If so, you're in trouble. Because you need to either update your operating system or quit playing MTGO because V3 is dying. As of July 16th, V3 will be dead. Everyone has to download V4, whether we like it or not. There's still a lot of issues with V4. It's better than what it was, you know, what you'd hear a few months ago, but it's still not good. Like, it's just, we're getting rid of the garbage we know for the new garbage.
Yeah.
We'll get used to it, and, you know, in a year, we'll go, it's not as bad as I thought it was. And, you know, it could be better, but it's not terrible. I mean, to be real honest, there's people saying we should just continue playing V3 for the next 2 years so they can really fix this. And, you know what? Now that everybody's going to be, now that they're switching over to V4 and they don't have to worry at all about V3, hopefully things just run smoother, because you figure before they had to make it so the programming made both of them work together.
Yeah, and you mean just hopefully they give you something that, you know, is worth the money you invest into.
Oh, they definitely do that.
It's a robbery.
Well, I mean, it's not like you gotta buy it. Do you have to buy it again? I don't know. I think it's just downloaded if you already have it. But I do believe I saw somewhere that they're giving us stuff. Like a free entry into a M15 pre-release? Yeah, that's it. It says right here, to show our appreciation for our immense patience, true desire to help, and constructive feedback during the downtime before the Magic 2015 pre-release begins, we will be granting every account that has logged into Magic Online since April 2008. So if you've played V3, you can get this. One each of the five M15 pre-release objects. Okay, so you don't have to spend that extra $5 buying those, and 35 Phantom Points. They're also going to be setting up a special sealed deck pre-release queues during the first weekend that will accept one pre-release and 35 Phantom Points as your entry, and they are giving you real packs. These are not Phantom packs. You are keeping your cards on this. So, or you can save your Phantom Points for, you know, like the cubes when they come back, but you get to keep your M15 cards. So, why the hell not? Go do this. That's what I say. But yeah, we're losing V3. Me sad. Ryan, I know you have a lot to say about that.
Yeah, I don't fucking care.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna happen. I don't really care, man. So September has the FNM promo has been announced. It's Banishing Light, and the dude has a whip that shoots fireballs, so that's neat.
Get out. I gotta pull this art up.
You haven't seen this yet?
No, what is that? Like a giant?
It's like a chimera, and the dude like is shooting a fireball out of his whip and killing the chimera.
Huh.
It's cool. I mean, I actually kind of like the original art better, but you know.
Yeah, I was just about to say, this looks like the same art on another card where they're like shooting, like, but at a different angle. There's that card where they're like, oh,
yeah, it just looks close to this. Like, I've seen this before, but I don't know where.
Yeah, this is at like a different angle of the one where it's like the close up of the guy and the thing going through the, he's like got a slingshot and he threw something through it and it's like a
light or something. I don't know. But yeah, this looks just like a far away shot of the same image.
Okay, now, we got some other promos to talk about. The pre-release promos. Game day promos and launch promos. So, we'll start with the pre-release.
Kids are unbalanced as always.
Yes, we get to pick a color, and of course it's not going to be the hardest choice. White is giving you Resolute Archangel, for 7 mana, 4/4 flyer.
Seven mana,
4/4 flyer. Okay, this is not good to start with. So the ability has to be insane. When Resolute Archangel enters the battlefield, if your life total is less than your starting life total, it becomes equal to your starting life total. So it goes back to 20.
Yeah,
and if you make it to turn 7, you're probably not at 20.
Yeah, and on a stalled board, this just gives you, like, takes you out of that parity that you need to win the game. Like, this just, like, pushes you.
Yeah, but if the board's really stalled, having the life change doesn't really change it too much. Okay, so blue, Mercurial Pretender.
Yeah, this is a weird one.
For 4 and blue, you may have Mercurial Pretender enter the battlefield as a copy of any creature you control except it gains for 2/2 blue. Return this creature to its owner's hand.
I don't like it. Too conditional. You have to have a creature on the battlefield already. Like, anything like that, I don't like. I hope you do have a creature on the battlefield already, but you can't.
You don't want to play a 0/0 for 5.
Yeah, this card is blah.
Blah. Okay, so, alright, Indulgent Tormentor. Okay, this is a card.
Can I say something? Mercurial Pretender would be fucking sweet, though, if it was a copy of any creature. Like, the whole thing is blah.
Yeah, if it was a straight-up clone, it wouldn't be bad at all.
Tormentor, so I'll be playing black.
If we're playing black, we're grabbing Indulgent Tormentor, and this is 3/2 black, flying at the beginning of your upkeep. Draw a card unless target opponent sacrifices a creature or pays 3 life. Sounds like I'm playing black unless something really good comes behind it.
Yep, and black-blue control type strategy seems pretty legitimate from what I've seen spoiled so far.
You know it does. So Siege Dragon, there's our red one, and this is a 7 mana, 5/2 red, flying 5/5. Okay, it's a little better than that angel already. When Siege Dragon enters the battlefield, destroy all walls your opponents control. Who cares?
Walls? Not my walls.
Okay.
Who the fuck?
But here's the thing, whenever Siege Dragon attacks, because it's clearing the way for itself, if defending player controls no walls, it deals 2 damage to each creature without flying that player controls.
That's pretty sick.
But then if, you know, you play this, and then on the next turn, dude plays a wall, he's just a 5/5 flyer. It has no special ability.
I just think it's too much mana. Like, 7 mana is just...
In sealed, it's usually not terrible, but to be honest, I see what you're selling, and I'm not buying.
I like the black and green myself.
Yeah, green is Phytotitan, and this is for 6/4/2 green. When Phytotitan dies, return it to the battlefield tapped under its owner's control at the beginning of his or her next upkeep, and he's a 7/2. I don't know that I like this.
That does suck that it's on your upkeep because you don't get to untap it. Like, it will remain tapped that turn, which sucks, but I mean, that could be pretty relevant if you're in a tempo battle. Like, that's definitely like...
The 7/2, it's almost like a removal spell every other turn.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Like, I'm sorry. And those are also the cards you're going to get if you buy an intro pack, which is kind of common as far as we've been so far. Launch week.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, if you go to launch week, you get Ingaric's Wake. I think we knew that already.
A 9-mana sorcery.
Yay! But it destroys planeswalkers.
Oh my god, this card's terrible.
But it looks really cool.
It's probably good in, like, EDH or something.
It's great art, though, man.
It is sick.
I mean, it's really good art.
What you can't see in the art is Garrick looking at you, biting his bottom lip, and, like, checking you out. But, yeah.
So
like,
see,
like he's doing in the other picture. I'm telling you, that shit is weird, man.
Dude, he looks like he's like plopping a turd.
Why are you looking at me like that, Garrick?
Dude, it's not that he's looking at you like that. He just happens to be on the toilet and he's really got a hard push.
His face is even all veiny and shit.
Dude, I know. It looks like he's pushing hard, man. Dude, you gotta put some roughage into your diet.
Fuck.
Can't just eat people, man. You gotta put some roughage in there. Okay, game day got some cool stuff going on.
Yeah, I love my full art cards, man.
Yeah, you get a Reclamation Sage, which is for 2 and a green, disenchant on a stick, basically. You get a 2/1 with destroy target artifact or enchantment.
Yeah, it's, you know.
That's playable.
Nah.
No, that, dude, that's a fine sideboard card.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know. It's a 2/1.
It is, but it's also, you know, destroy target artifact or enchantment.
I don't know. At 3, green has, like, so many better options. Like,
it does, but most of them don't come with a stick.
I just don't like, I like the full art. The last few full art ones outside of Dryad Militant they made haven't been, like, playable.
Okay, well, let me go to this next one. Chief Engineer. Yeah, artifacts tells you cast have Convoke.
Yep.
For a blue and a colorless.
Now, do you think this is playable in Affinity?
This is unfair.
Is this gonna see Affinity play?
Dude, this is a Legacy card. This is unfair. It's a 1/3, so it's already out of most Legacy burn range short of Lightning Bolt, because everyone wants to deal 2 damage to everything right now.
Is it that good?
Yes! Dude, you can play things for free off of this. Free.
Yeah.
You can plop this out, plop off a bunch of zeros, and then play a Dark Steel Colossus. For nothing. Dude, this is unfair. Like, this is a good card. Like, do not sleep on this card. This is going to see Legacy play. I'm not joking.
We'll see. I'm curious to see what it does.
Yeah, it might even see Modern play, realistically. Cause they've taken so many of the, Affinity decks away.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I think Modern, I wouldn't necessarily say Legacy.
Oh, I can see it find its way into Legacy, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. It's definitely-
Think about it in the Tezzeret deck in Legacy.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting, especially in a deck that, I mean, skews out a ton of dudes ridiculously fast.
It basically gives every artifact Affinity.
Yeah.
It's just stupid. I mean, it's not directly Affinity, don't get me wrong. You have to tap your artifacts to make it work, but this is stupid. Ugh.
Seems good, yeah.
All right, so if you win this thing, you get some chick with a sword on a playmat. This is not an impressive playmat.
No, and who is this chick? Because she's the same chick that's on a pretty exciting M15 card that's been spoiled.
We'll have to go over that later. See, and if you buy a box, Ryan, I know it. You get a Rabble Master, man.
It should be Ruble Master. They fucked this up.
It should be Ruble Master.
It should clearly be fucking Ruble Master. We have this Troublemaker promo, they say, and I fucking, could this be Legacy playable in Goblin? So I don't know. No, I'm kidding.
No, it's just not. It's, 2 colorless and a red. Other Goblin creatures you control attack each turn if able.
Yeah.
At the beginning of combat of your turn, put a 1/1 red Goblin creature token with haste onto the battlefield. So, you know, he brings friends. And whenever he attacks, it gets +1/+0 until end of turn for each other attacking goblin. But this thing doesn't have trample. So, yeah, there's that. And it's only a 2/2. It will be every time it attacks at least 3/2.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice, but it's still just a X2. And, you know, it's good enough to get a 2.
Limited. There'll be a goblin deck in Limited.
Well, there's always a goblin deck in Limited.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I'm sure there actually will be, to be real honest. So let's see, let's do our last, let's talk about spoilers things. And to be honest, let's stay with the official ones because man, it just seemed to me like Mythic had way too much out way too early.
They were dead on though.
Were they on everything? Cause like, I haven't seen a lot of it. Like, they don't have the commons and uncommons in here yet. So, in the official ones. So,
on the official now. They have several uncommons.
Yeah, but not all of them. And it was like, Mythic's like done. They're just like, yeah, everything's there. And it's like, what? I don't know, man. I've been burned before and it's typically when somebody gets ahead of themselves a little bit and they seem way out there this time.
Yeah.
Like, they're way ahead of the curve, which is cool if they get it right.
Yeah, I have a couple cards I'm excited about here that are official.
Well, start with the obvious one that you're going to pick.
Well, Court of Calling.
Aha, that is a Court of Calling.
And the art is sick on this. I like the original art, but this is...
Dude, I like the bird.
Yeah, but this is ridiculous, man. This looks dope as fuck. I'm just sad that paid as much as I did for our Court of Callings, but... I actually don't think this will affect the price on that much.
It'll make it plummet, man.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good news for modern players. I mean, I'm not one of those, like, someone mentioned, like, you know, you can't have it both ways, like complain about the high prices of modern and then like bitch when they make reprints to try and like, you know,
bring the price down. Just because you own these, you can't complain about it.
Yeah, I'm not complaining at all. Like I like the originals. Like, hey, I bought in at a time when the card wasn't around. And if you wanted to play, I mean,
you had to pay.
Play pod have to have Court of Calling. Like I like the art on this a bunch. I think it's a sick reprint. I don't know. I, I'm thinking this could have some potential in standard. It'll be interesting to see.
Okay, I'm going to go with the other obvious one. Since you took Horde, I will go with Garruk, Apex Predator.
This is so mad, bro.
5 black green to cast him. That's 7. He gets 5 loyalty, okay? +1, destroy another target planeswalker. That's actually a good ability.
It is, but 7.
It's expensive as hell. +1, put a 3/3 black beast creature token with death touch onto the battlefield. That's another really good ability.
That's good, but why not a 1/1 death touch wolf?
Because he never puts out, well, he only put wolves out the one time. He's always been the 3/3
beast. Yeah, the one time that he was black, though, had black in him.
Yeah, well, now he got some green in him. Let's see, -3.
I don't like that. I don't like, the brother likes his wolves, you know what I mean?
Mm, okay, whatever. I like the 3/3 beast a lot better than the 1/1.
Yeah, but it's still, death touch is death touch, so.
Dude, you're paying 7 mana for this. I don't want to put out a 1/1 that's going to die right away. I would like to block a few things.
It's an attacking, too. I mean, it's much bigger, but yeah.
Okay, so for -3, destroy target creature, you gain life equal to its toughness. Again, that's another really good ability.
Yeah. Okay,
-8, target opponent gets an emblem with whenever a creature attacks you, it gets +5/+5 and gains trample until end of turn. Again, that's a really good ability. Like, this is a pushed card. The question is 7 too much? I think Domri's
emblem is still better, but...
Is 7 too much? That is really the question. Like, is the card... Dude, everything on the card when it gets in play is amazing.
It's hella pushed. I mean,
Elspeth, we thought...
That at 6 mana, this might have been busted.
It might have been. I mean, at 6 mana, we thought Elspeth might have been a little too high.
Because you can already get out a 6 mana Garruk on turn 2 in this format.
Well, there you go. So a 7 mana one ain't too bad.
So, I mean, yeah, but that's also just a straight green Garruk and a straight green deck, and it's completely devoted to green. This does have the black splash, makes it harder to do that. Like, I mean, but it is possible you can get this guy out on turn 3.
Turn 3, turn 4. I can see turn 4, especially with, like, Market Street.
Yeah. I mean, I'd hope we don't go to the point where we're playing Market Street and Standard, fuck's sake, but...
Yeah, I agree with that, but I mean, it's pushed. I mean, power level on all 4 of these abilities is there. Like, I mean, I would be happy to use any one of the 4 abilities, and he has 4 abilities, that's like Jace.
I just see this as a more expensive Rasta, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can kind of see that.
You're either probably at 7 mana, you're either going to +1 him, or you're going to -3 him. I don't see you immediately playing him and +1ing for the 3/3.
I can see times when that's good.
I said 7 man. I don't know. I find that hard to think that that's going to be the +1 you'll use right away. I almost see you like...
Well, here's the thing, okay? Are you going to destroy target creature and gain life equal using the -3 if they, say, have like 1 ground creature and no flyers, or are you just going to put the 3/3 out there?
Well, it depends on my life total.
It does. Let's just say, but you're 7 10.
Mana, that could be in a precocious...
Let's say they're at 10, you're at 10. It's a completely balanced game. They have 1 creature, and it's on the ground.
I mean, if it doesn't have trample or anything, the 3/3 is fine.
I would go with the 3/3 there and begin the tick up. I mean, it really gives you the little flexibility.
If they have a lot of cards in hand, if I know they're on removal, I'm just going to go ahead and destroy that creature because they're just going to pop my 3/3 in. Pick there anyways, or...
That's fair. I mean, I think it's kind of like a little skill tester, and the first play, once you play him, is going to mean a lot. I mean, obviously, if they have a planeswalker down, like, he only has one job. He comes down, he destroys the Elspeth or whatever, and you move on. I don't know, dude. I like the card.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see on it. I'm not going to call it that.
7 mana is kind of strange. I'm not going to say it's unplayable because it's clearly playable once you get it in play.
I think they had especially at 2 different colors, I think they had a reason it went to 7 mana.
I would think so. I think it's 6. Just looking at what Elspeth can do at 6, I don't want to see this at 6. 8 would be too much with double color. 7's probably right, man.
I don't know. It's a very strong planeswalker. I mean, you gotta, I don't know. I don't even really like his ultimate that much. Like, if you're playing, I just, against a lot of decks, it's a really bad card.
I don't know. If you go +1 for the 3/3 beast, then you go +1 for the 3/3 beast, and then you go +1 for the 3/3 beast, And then you get, that.
Well, that's good against control because it's constant threats, but we had that in a four drop, Derek. Like,
but the thing is,
we got that now in Xenagos at four.
Okay, but just listen to what I'm saying. It says target opponent gets an emblem, which whenever a creature attacks, you get, it gets +5/+5 and gains trample. Well, because all these creatures deal death touch, you're getting through with seven with every creature. Yeah. Let's say double block, because you only have to deal one damage to it for it to be lethal. And then the other seven can run through.
Hey, you can make your...
And that's 21 damage.
You can make your 3/3 beast, get your emblem, and then fucking sack it to this new green card, Life's Legacy, that I'm more excited about than this Garrick.
I don't know. People want to hear about the Planeswalker, but see, Life's Legacy. What's that do?
I mean, yeah, but I'm with you, man. I like this Garrick. I think they were probably right at 7 mana. We'll see, man. It's pretty expensive. The other 6 mana Garrick is super good, and it's played in very fringe.
Yeah, it needs testing, but
decks anyways. I think
this is good.
The Life's Legacy is the 2 mana, a colorless and a green for a sorcery. Sack a creature, draw cards equal to its power.
Okay.
I like it.
Yeah, okay. I can get behind that.
It reminds me of, there was, I think it was Disciple of Bolas.
Yeah.
Where you sacked the dude and drew cards equal to its
top. No, Disciple of Bolas was a 1/3 that when it came into play, you looked at your top 2 cards.
Okay, what's the one where you sacked a creature and
drew cards
equal to its?
I don't remember, but it has happened before. I mean, the fact that it's a sorcery is cool. I mean, I don't know. My standard for green drawing spells is like Harmonize.
Oh yeah. Disciple of Bolas is the one when it enters the battlefield, sack another creature, you gain X life and draw X.
Okay. So which Bolas was I thinking of? Grab sorceries or instants.
I don't know. I have no idea. But yeah, I think that one's good when we're on green, but yeah. I'm interested in Convoke. What is Stoke the Flames a reprint, by the way?
Stoke the Flames, Convoke. Stoke the Flame deals 4 damage to target creature or player. I don't remember. I don't think so, but I honestly don't remember.
That seems really good.
I played during Convoke, and I don't remember this card, so I would say no, because this looks like something I would remember, but I could be wrong. It's been a while.
Yeah, so could you cast this? So,
you can cast
Convoke.
It with you.
I've never really played with Convoke. Like, I don't play pot or use Court of Calling or anything.
Damn, I should have had Frank on.
Yeah, exactly. So for those out there listening that probably want to know, so Convoke, you can basically play these cards for free.
Not for free. See, what ends up happening is, okay, like this one is 2 colorless and 2 red. Your creatures can help cast this spell. Each creature you tap while casting this spell reduces the casting cost by 1 colorless mana, or 1 mana of that creature's color. So I guess, yes, you can do it for free. However, like, you would need to play this, you would need 2 red creatures and 2 other creatures. And you would have to say when you're tapping the red, I'm reducing a red mana. I'm reducing a red mana. And then your other ones, you know, colorless, or white, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. But you have to state while you're playing it, look, I'm tapping this for a red Convoke, thing. So, yeah, you can play them for free. Typically, you don't, but you get close to it. Like, I mean, I know when I used to play a lot of, like, with Court of Calling, it would be, I would cast a lot of Court of Callings for, like, 2.
Yeah.
That kind of seemed to be my magic number where I'd get it to, like, 2, and I would go search out, like, 9 cards. Because I like playing it in Sacrifice decks, because I'm a horrible person.
There you go.
Speaking of horrible person, though, dude, I'm a fucking soothsayer, I'll tell you that right now. I was right, so fuck everybody out there. Especially those people who was like, oh my god, who said Shocklands were gonna, or not Shocklands, but Painlands were gonna come back? Nobody ever. Fuck you, Jason Ault, I said it.
Yeah, I thought that was a good call. I mean, I didn't think that was a bad, I thought it was, you know,
I called that it was going to be the enemy once. Because I remember me saying, I said specifically, go look at Cave of Koilos.
Yeah, I think that, I'm not sure, I'm not all super hyped up about them. It is what it is, it's the lands we're going to have to play with.
They're not bad lands. I know,
it's just the way it's going to be, the lands we got to play with. I like the fucking original art on them, it's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad they didn't change that up, that's cool as shit. I like these pain lands, man.
I'm glad they're at least giving us, like, I'm just glad we got lands that can tap two colors.
Yeah. I mean, they can tap for colorless as well. Like, it's your choice to take the pain. So, like, later in the game, you barely ever take damage from them.
Yeah.
And that's the honest to God truth. Typically, when you run these things, it's not like Mana Confluence, where every time you tap it, you're basically getting smacked in the face. It's different. It's like, okay, I have a red mana. I don't need to use the red mana on this, so I'm going to tap this for colorless. You don't lose nearly as much life from these as you would think. And I think in a lot of decks, these replace Mana Confluence unless you're running like 3-4 colors. Or you're running friend colors instead of enemy colors.
Yeah.
But like junk, man, I mean, sleeve it up. You have Lana Waterways, you have Caves of Coelos. Sleeve junk up.
The best land, though, they printed is the new John Avon Plains. That's probably the best land in the set, though.
Really? Are you fucking trolling me?
No, man, the John Avon Plains. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I'm looking at it, and, are you fucking trolling me?
Yeah.
Am I missing something inside of this picture of Rolling Hills? Yeah. Is there some pattern in there that I'm not quite seeing?
No, I'm just a fan of John Avon lands. Anytime we get a new one, I'm hyped.
Okay, so we have, let me get this straight. We A, have Sliver Hive, which I'll give you this, the Plains might be better than that.
Sliver Hive is garbage.
We have...
That's your EDH player. Sorry, Ryan Tyson. You were excited about this card.
And yeah, we have Painlands, and you're saying a John Avon art's better than that. You're wrong. And we have Urborg, Tomb of Yawgmoth back, which, yeah, that's just what Mono Black needs, by the way. Go fuck yourself, Wizards.
Right? Like, my game shop was still selling them for $18. I tried to pick them up the other week.
It's absurd. It's like, now Mono Black Splash is going to have this. You know what I mean? So you're not going to feel bad about running a couple extra forests maybe to...
Or your Mutavolts aren't going to hurt you for a while with those sectors.
Yeah, I'm going to run 4 Mutavolts every time until it rotates. Yeah. Because in Mono Black. Because why? I don't care. It is a swamp.
Got Urborg. Yeah.
I'm going to say this right now. Standard at the Pro Tour, Mono Black, and Mono Black is going to be your winners because all that good stuff is still legal. Until Cons comes out.
You don't think someone's gonna break the format with this sick new Jace, man?
Fuck his Jace.
But he's the living guild pack, man.
Are you fucking serious? Look, okay. We're gonna do this? I really didn't want to do this because of the conversation that happened on Facebook for a fucking month, it seemed like.
Knock it off, people. I already posted on there. Knock it off. The thread went on for ages. Like everyone was trying, like, whatever they could possibly do to make this card seem remotely, like, reasonable right now.
Look, I'm not saying it's not playable, because it does have, its plus one ability is kinda usable. You look at the top two cards of your library, you put one of them in your hand, one in your graveyard. In a constructed deck, you pick your poison, basically. And, you know, if there's a little reanimator shell out there that's gonna happen, this card, say a black reanimator splashing blue, this card can work in that.
Already reanimator doesn't really want, like, planeswalkers. We're losing Obsidot's aid. You're gonna have no way to reanimate a plane. Like, you're just gonna throw this guy in the yard.
Yeah, look, we don't know what's coming in Cons, and I'm willing to at least give that the benefit of the doubt as far as...
So you think that...
That ability.
Wizards would not have gone out of their way to print a bad Jace. That's this somehow something might happen that makes this good.
No, and see, the plus one ability is the good ability.
It's a 4-mana boomerang.
Yeah, that's my problem. Like, it comes in with 5 loyalty and the -3. If this was -2, this card is beyond playable in my eyes. Because you get 2 boomerangs out of it. But it's -3, so you get 1 frickin' boomerang.
Yeah.
Guaranteed, and that's it.
The best part of this card is that if you were just to slam this down and you're, like, in a control deck and you've got the board, you know, under control, the -8 seems pretty reasonable. Like, you can probably hit that pretty easily, but...
Dude, if they're playing fucking Elixir and you crack that -8, you are going to draw 0-0-0 if you do that game one.
Well,
that's funny. Like, for just quality points, by all means, do that, somebody.
I think by that point, by the time you ultimate him, though, your opponent already probably isn't gonna have a hand. I mean, you'll still draw 7 cards, and yeah, if you're a control deck, anytime you draw 7 cards, you're probably gonna take the game over from there, so. The ultimate is, like, you know, what you kind of, you know, it's a decent ultimate.
It's an Elixir, and you get to draw cards.
I'm not a fan.
Neither am I. I don't see him playing.
I wanted Bellerin because I never got to play with Bellerin, and he seems like he'd be really good right now.
Bellerin's good. Look, if I crack it in limited, I'll play it because A, it's a planeswalker and it's a target, and I will use the plus one ability as many times as they let me to sculpt the hand that I want.
Yeah.
But, I'm not excited about it.
Yeah. And Nissa and Ajani seem to got all the love this set.
Ajani's insane.
Yeah. Liliana, I think, is going to be good out of Mono Black's, like, sideboard.
Meh.
Oh, against control? Are you kidding me?
Me. I've played with Liliana enough times. Like, I know what she does.
She'll come in for Mono Black. She's two pips of devotion, and she is just really good against control.
Yeah, I know what she does. I've played with her a bunch, you know, over my years of playing this game. And, I mean, she's not bad. I mean, but she's not like, oh my god, it's Liliana
bad. Well, yeah, no one's going batshit over. I mean, sideboard is.
Yeah, it's me.
Yeah, this new Ajani's busted. I think we talked about him last week.
Yeah, we did. Like, he's busted. See, Revoker's back. That's pretty good for you, modern players. There's a couple decks that want that. Even a couple legacy decks.
Yeah, I just cut mine.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask you a question. And it's kind of a nonsense question, but I still wanna ask it. First, who the fuck is Erd? And second, why is his obelisk so good?
Yeah, this is a sweet card. I have no idea who Erd is. I bet they called him Erd the Turd in high school, though.
Probably. Like, I mean, it's for 6 mana, Convoke, so you can play this for free. As Obelisk of Erd enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. I don't know, humans? Humans sounds good, right?
No, no, no. This is going right in an EDH Slivers deck.
Yeah, EDH Slivers, and it's creatures you control of the chosen type get +2/+2. So it's dropping two Glorious Anthems in one card.
Yep.
Dude, let's just, you know, let's play Shits and Giggles. This is a one of in any deck with Elspeth.
No.
Seriously? You don't name Soldier and play this off of your soldiers?
No. Cause you don't need this to win the game with Elspeth. Valid.
That is kill you more. Alright, I'll give you that. But just anything that can put out multiple creatures in one turn. I mean, even that stupid goblin we was talking about earlier.
Yeah, the thing is, there's not a deck right now that, I mean, I guess there's a black, white, or like Esper Humans type aggro list, but no one's playing it. And outside of that, there's not really a deck that would get the synergy from this. Like, there's no like Sliver deck or something, you know what I mean?
There isn't, but the key to that is the fact that you said right now. We have no clue what Khons is going to bring us. Like, Khons could be a tribal set, and if it is, oh my god.
I think it will be.
I mean, if it comes out to be a tribal set and this thing's here, dude, I mean, although, you know what, Door to Nothingness, I believe it's called, not Door to Nothingness, Door to Destiny. Barely ever saw play, and it was in a tribal set, so who knows?
I think that it's Khons, like, tribes definitely go along with that theme. I mean, historically, like, Genghis Khan united the tribes of the steppes, so.
He didn't really unite them, but okay.
Well.
He conquered.
I didn't say he did it politely.
Okay. Alright, fair enough.
Yeah, so. I definitely could see some sort of, you know, soldiers, humans. There'll be some sort of tribal theme, so.
Okay, and next week, yeah. You know what? Do you want to go over Perilous Vault real quick? Because, like, people are loving this card and...
Perilous Vault.
Yeah. 4 mana.
Oh, yeah. This is the wrath I don't like.
5 tap, exile it, exile all non-land permanents.
Yeah.
You don't like it? Good, because neither do I.
I mean, you got to exile... It exiles itself. It exiles... Like, it's not a repeatable thing. Like...
Yeah, that's, like... I mean, look, obviously if you crack it in your limited pool or something, I mean, it's good. If you crack it in your, this thing ain't gonna see constructed play, is it? I mean, if it does, like.
I mean, the best wrath we've seen so far is Mass Calcify, so it could.
That's what I mean, like, if this is our best wrath, like, realistically.
It sucks, man.
Standard's in a bad spot.
Right, without a Wrath of God, like, I feel like Standard's gonna get really fucking, like, just.
Bad.
It's just gonna, like, devolve into straight up battle cruiser, you know. There won't be, I don't think there could, can there be a control deck without, I mean, like, planar cleansing and shit, like, that's not good enough, I don't think. I think you need a 4 mana wrath in the format at all times.
Yeah, I think you need something about 4 mana, yeah. The fact that this sits on the board for a turn, too.
I mean, when was the last time Standard didn't have a 4 mana wrath? I don't know.
Yeah, that long ago.
what was before Supreme Verdict?
It was, what the hell was that card called? It was from Zendikar originally, Day of Judgment.
Okay, and Day of Judgment, was that 4 mana?
Yep.
Okay.
And before Day of Judgment was a thing called Wrath of God. So, you know what? I want to say, like, 8th edition years, there was no Wrath.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, Day of Judgment goes all the way back to M11.
Before that, M11 it was reprinted out in.
Okay, and Wrath of God, of course, goes all the way back to the beginning, but...
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there was like 1 year. Maybe it was M10 or M8.
Well, yeah. Wrath of God was in 8th edition, 9th, 10th, and 10th edition, and then...
Okay, then there... You know what?
Day of Judgment says M11, M12, Zendikar.
Was Wrath of God in M10? It was in 10th edition, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't in M10?
No.
Okay, that was when the small period... There was a small window there where there was no Wrath of God, and it came out in the fall set when Zendikar came out, and that's when Day of Judgment arrived.
Yeah.
But there was a window where it was like, oh my god, there's no Wrath of God in the format. What the hell are we gonna do? But yeah, there's that. So moving on again. Let's get away from the spoilers. Next week's the fun time, so we'll do that then. Guys, here's the deal with the t-shirts. I am currently talking to Teespring. I'm trying to get our goal lowered back down to 20, where I originally had it set. I'm waiting for them basically to respond to me at this point. If they say that they cannot do that, I'm probably going to cancel the campaign and restart it. They've taken no money out of your account as of right now. So if you've already, you know, written in your checkbook that you paid it, when I restart it, all you have to do is just take that same money that you had in your checkbook that you took out and just order it again. Because I know for a fact we can get 20 to fire because we're almost at 20. But again, for some reason, when I originally set my thing, I had it set for 20 and I hit launch campaign and it launched at 50. Please, if I do refire this, I'm sorry that, you know, there's going to be a little bit more delay, but please order again. Hopefully that's not the case. Like, I'm waiting for an email back from their customer support, and hopefully I hear the words, hey, we're just going to switch it to 20 for you, and that way your campaign fires on time, and that would be great, because I want my shirt.
Yeah, come on, people.
And if you haven't ordered a shirt, and you've listened to this show every week, bad you. You should have a shirt. Hey. It's just a small, easy way to show a little support to us.
Yeah, it says I love you.
That's it. That's all it says. And it puts a small tear in Ryan's eye.
It does.
It does. It does. So what you been up to, Ryan?
Shit. On the grind and fucking been brewing up some nasty shit.
That's cool. Been
working on a Nia Walker's build, so.
Yeah.
That's my guard dog, security dog. Working out this new Nia Walker's brew, similar to one that Frank posted on the page the other day that had
He said Polish Crusher and Rorik Thar. Like, his was dangerous.
Yeah, it was 16.
Kill himself with that thing. I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Mine seems a little bit more, like, toned and leaner, but...
Missing blue.
Yeah, it has some spicy one-ups. Fuck you, it is not missing blue.
Dude, you know what, right now, what is your reasoning to be in red instead of blue? I want to know your reasoning.
Well, with red, I get... red right now, I think is just more of a color for me. Like, let's see, let me pull my list up.
And like, what walkers are you using that's touching on red?
Well, my walkers are Xenagos, so I need red for that because I'm running 3 Xenagos.
Okay.
I'm running 3 Elspeth and I'm running 3 Ajani Mentor Heroes.
All right. So maybe it's just playstyle, but I just don't see where I'd run those over Kiora and Jace. Like, I just don't see the point in going Nia when, like, I think Bant's where you should be.
I have a Bant deck in the works. Like, I got one wrote up, but it's not like, I like this a bit more. Like, I like going over because I run 4 Stormbreasts, so I obviously need the double red there. 3 Pelucranos,
mm-hmm.
Enforcer, 3 Fleece Manes, 3 Voyaging Satyrs, and 4 Sylvans. So I'm trying to ramp into some stuff. Fleece Mane Lion is good late game and early game. It's just good against the aggro decks. I thought it was better than Keening Apparition, so.
Haha, that vault from M15 is going to kill your Fleece Manes. That's fucked up. It actually could.
And I'm also running 3 Mizzium Mortars, which is really good right now. 2 Selesnya Charms and then the Planeswalkers that I mentioned, so. My sideboard also, 3 Mist Cutters, 3 Keening Apparitions, 3 Unflinching Courage, 3 Anger of the Gods, 2 Magma Spray, and a Deicide. So there's the Magma Spray and the Anger of the Gods also.
Did I knock your Banishing Light?
No, you didn't.
Well, bad Ryan, Banishing Light.
Ruben's already scolded me.
Good Ruben.
Two Banishing Light probably over the Magma Spray. Namely because one of my toughest matchups has been Mono Blue.
Yeah, I can't see. Okay, because you have, what, 4 Caryatids, I thought I heard?
Yeah.
Okay, so when does something with 2 toughness bother you? Not very often, right?
Well, no, but Fleece Mane also lets me attack. I mean, it's just a beater. It's right. A good card.
No, I get that, but I'm just saying, like, with a Caryatid out, I don't see where anything, you know, anything with an X2 is going to get through you as far as standard's going right now. Like, how many 3-2s are being played?
Well, yeah.
You know, so, like, I don't know that the Magma Spray... Yeah, I would go Banishing Light over the Magma Spray. The Scry is nice, but I'd go Banishing Light over Magma Spray.
Well, Magma Spray doesn't Scry. That's just the 2 damage. That's
Magma Jet. Oh, yeah. That's Magma Jet.
Magma Spray is the 1 mana instant 2 damage exile creature.
While a fine card, I think Banishing Light's better.
Yeah.
I think you should add some of them M15 vaults so you can kill Planeswalkers, too.
I'm liking dropping Pelucranos on turn 3.
Yeah, that's fun.
So, the deck's been a lot of fun. Like, yeah, I mean, some cards that I'm, you know, looking into are like Nyx Fleece Ram, Chandra Pyromaster, Zinnegod. I was thinking maybe 1 Zinnegod over the 3rd Elspeth.
Nah.
I don't know. Primeval Bounty, that's 6 mana enchantment.
Am I wrong? I'm not really on Nyx Fleece Ram's nuts all that hard.
No, but in the sideboard.
Okay.
Like maybe even over, Unflinching
Curse. How many you have, 2?
In my sideboard, I have 2 Magma Sprays.
But Nyx Fleece Ram.
Oh, Nyx Fleece Ram. I don't know what I would maybe add 2.
See, I don't know. I'm
not running it at all right now.
Yeah, I would think that would be like a meta call. Pay attention to what's going on. Switch it to, you know, the meta. Yeah. Each
again, I'm already pretty suited up well for the aggro decks that are on the ground. It's blue that flies over me that I have trouble with, but the other aggro variants, like, they have a hard enough time getting through an 0-3 and a 2-4.
Right. That's kind of what I was thinking. I mean,
I don't really need the 0-5, and my courser's already gaining me life off the, you know, 25 land I'm running. And then,
I mean, I guess if you ran into some deck that just was throwing everything at your face, then maybe the Nyx Fleece Ram would be good, but I don't know, man. I don't think so. I wouldn't worry about it, to be honest.
It's been tough though, like, to beat Mono Blue. Like, I got lucky the other night and played, like, I hit Mist Cutter Hydra into Unflinching Courage, and that was pretty good, and that seems to do the trick. So.
Yeah, what about,
And Anger of the Gods is really good.
Yes, Anger is good. I'm thinking, like, a Plummet Effect.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Or see, because my flex spots were the 3 Fleece Mane. I was open to suggestions there, and the third Elspeth or something else. Because I've seen other lists like this, and they run a Chandra Pyromaster main and only 2 Elspeths. So I opted for a third Elspeth, but I'm liking that enchantment Primeval Bounty.
Okay.
Yeah, the one that you gain life or make a 3/3.
Yeah, life, dude, or mana.
Yeah. Pretty good. Or, no, it's the counters. Yeah, you put counters or something.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting. Anything else, man, you've been up to?
Nah, I mean, just been playing and testing.
Did you go on a podcast or something recently?
We did a Tab and Sack.
You made it through the whole thing, so, I mean, it's your, you can go ahead and talk about it. I barely talk, because I'm tired. Yeah, they had
a over there on their countdown to 100 episodes. Love those guys, man, the brothers to us, so.
Yeah, we were the first ones that they asked to come on Dirt or Countdown, so I'm kind of a little honored for that.
Yeah, that was cool shit, man. Love those guys, so.
I mean, it was late at night, and that was kind of my doing. Because yeah. The day they wanted to record, I had to go pick my wife up from work at 9:30, and I didn't want to leave in the middle of the fucking podcast. Oh, so yeah. I was like, can we just start it late? And then, you know, we got started, and then, you know.
You were tired as shit.
I was tired, and I never really saw, like, great spots for me to jump in and, like, talk. So, like, I was really quiet on it, which is not common when I'm on other people's podcasts. Usually I ramble like there's no tomorrow.
Usually, yeah.
And then we hit a point where I was just like, it's 12:30. I need to go to bed. My work schedule says I get up at 5 in the morning. That is 4.5 hours from now. I need to go to fuck to bed.
Yeah. That's cool, though, man. I was, yeah, I think I was pretty drunk, so I don't remember all that much of it. Apparently, I sang Pokemon.
You did sing the Pokemon song.
So.
You did sing the Pokemon song, and we was just like, all right, whatever. Because, you know, you're wearing a Pokemon hat, you said.
No.
You told us you'd do it, dude.
It was not.
That is what you said on the show.
If what? I haven't lost a bet yet.
No, you just said you would. You was man enough that you could pull it off, and you could, it was something that had to do with Megan. Like, she thought you'd look cute in it or something, and you was like, I'll wear it.
No, I don't recall saying that. I'll have to go back.
Is Megan sitting there? Ask her.
I definitely did not agree to that. That's for damn sure. So.
And she was like, I'll peek her too. And I was like, what?
Oh man.
You must have been drunk.
I just hate to see a guy in the prime of his life wearing a sign on his head that tells all women to avoid him. It's just sad. Man. So
you have to remember, like, this is a geek world, man.
Geeky yeah, but geeks can get pussy too.
That's right, and geeky girls like that shit.
Yeah,
man, I'm telling you, it happens, bro. It happens. I guarantee you he's getting him some bearded biscuit off of that Pokemon hat.
Yeah, I highly doubt that.
That's cool though. Let's see.
Bearded biscuit requires showering and, you know, somewhat general.
Now you're saying the dude just does not watch his hygiene.
Well, I don't know.
He doesn't shave. It doesn't look like it.
It doesn't look like it. You could tell when someone's hair is oily and greasy looking and shit, like, but they haven't washed in a minute.
A man? Just because he doesn't shave and has a beard does not mean he's dirty.
Who said that? I said his hair is always greasy and shit.
Maybe he puts product in it.
No, he looks like a, it's always.
He's a big man. I bet, look, when we usually see him, it's like round 9. And I bet he sweats quite a bit.
Yeah, cause he's wearing a wool hat indoors.
Yes. I mean, that might be where the fail is. It might not be that it's Pokemon. It's the fact that he's wearing a wool hat indoors while he's a large man.
That's probably it. I can't imagine how it smells. I'll just go with that out there. So
I'm actually surprised you don't see a salt rigger out of that thing. He must bleed it quite often, actually.
Possible, yeah. So, yeah, otherwise, yeah.
Salt ring got me ill.
Yeah, so the podcast was cool. I don't know, haven't really, what you been on, man?
Dude, I got to watch a little bit of Magic this weekend. I did not play any.
That sucks.
Well, I mean, like, the final stretch to Portland is basically here. I have a month to, you know, build up the monies that I need to go. So, like, I have been going through a horrendous schedule at work. I am working as many hours as I can possibly get and then some. Just because, you know, dude, I mean, I gotta pay for this trip somehow. And right now, like, you know, financial matters at my house is not a good thing. So, like, I really have to work a lot of hours to pull this off. And then, like, this week we also had this crazy week on top of it. We had 3 people quit last week. Damn. And we had 2 people on vacation. So, like, I'm there basically, there was like 5 of us there, and normally we have about 11 man crew, and there's like 5 of us doing all the work, and we're already a little behind.
Yeah.
And after last week, we're a lot behind because I can only do so much by myself. You know what I mean? Like, I was calling almost everybody I know, hey, you want a job?
Yeah.
Like, I got work for you if you want it.
What's up with Will?
He didn't want it.
No?
Nah, I asked him, and, like, he was like, let me talk to the old lady. He's like, I could do it. Like, I kind of want to do some outside work. I wouldn't want to be there more than a month because he's going back on a trail.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Hey, but he's like, you know, I don't know. Like, I have to talk to her and see if she just, you know, wants me to spend time with her while we're at home, or, you know, if it's cool that I do this. And I never really heard back from him, so I'm guessing that he didn't want it. But, you know, that's that. But at the end of the week, dude, my boss, like, he must have knew I had a rough week because, like, we were sent up to this job. And, okay, you deal with these people, so you understand kind of what I'm going to say here. But, like, home builders, people who do that for a living, are the fucking dregs of the universe.
Usually.
They're fucking horrible people, man. They try to do everything on the cheap. They lie to your fucking face repeatedly. So we go up to work on this dude's house that, you know, he's working on right now. And the deal was, because we rented a piece of our equipment to him, he was going to have everything ready. So all I had to do was go up and seed the lawn and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And we're like, okay, cool. So I drive an hour away from where we're at to work on this lawn. It's a big lawn. It was going to be an all-day job. And everything was supposed to be rock hounded, which basically means, like, the dirt has been fluffed and all the rocks have been removed and everything has been graded. So all I literally have to do is come in, do the seeding, which I do with, like, a high pressure, water hose.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called hydro seeding.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. It actually kind of is. Like, you put in, like, a ground mulch, the seed and the fertilizer all into this big mixing machine. And then you take this huge hose around and you just spray it all over the yard. And then when you walk away, the yard's blue, but it's completely seeded.
Huh.
So I get there and And we had already talked to the guy 2 days in a row because of rain here. Is it dry enough? Is it dry enough? Is it rock hound? And dude, he's just like, yeah, man, everything's ready up here. You come up here, you just fire it off. Not a problem.
And then, no, when they tell you that, it means everything's ready in 7 days from now.
Dude, so he's pushing us to get there by the end of last week. So Friday, we go up there. My boss told him the day before because he kind of had a feeling he was full of shit. He fucking told him, he goes, listen, on Fridays, I do not make my guys work any overtime. They're not going to stay late to help you finish your job if it's not ready. Like, yeah, they have a job to go in there and do, and they can complete their task in an 8-hour day. So if it's not ready, they're not going to finish it for you. And he's like, no, everything's ready, man. Just bring them up, bring them up. So I get there, dude, nothing's been rock hounded.
Oh.
I look at this dude, and I'm like, really? And he's like, well, you know, I'm like, I was told all this was going to be done, and I was being real nice to him. So I call my boss, you know, because the guy said something to me, and he was like, call your boss. I was like, all right, I'm going to call him. So I call him, and dude, I basically am told by my boss, tell that dude to go pound salt.
Nice, so you just beat it.
Dude, he gave me the green light to tell this dude off, and I fucking took it. I was like, listen, man. I drove an hour out here. It's an hour drive back. At 8 hours is 3 o'clock, which means I need to leave your place by 2 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, I'm packing all my shit up.
Oh, wait, driving gets included in that?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, see.
I'm like, you know.
You got 8 up there then.
Yeah, I was like, I'm leaving at 2 o'clock. Whether this shit's done or not, I'm wrapping it up and I'm out of here. He's like, well, you know, over at the other house, because there was actually 2 houses we were kind of working on. One was his actual house and he just had a little bit of stuff that he wanted done. He's like, yeah, I figured, you know, my guy's gonna finish this up in the morning. You guys can go take care of that over there, and then, you know, once you get done with that, this will be all ready. I'm like, okay, first off, that's not gonna happen because, like, I'm walking on the soil and sinking. It's so wet. I'm like, there's no way he can set a machine on this fucking thing. I'm like, so that's not gonna happen, but I will go over there and I will do what you want me to do over there, and then I will come back over here, and at 2 o'clock I'm fucking gone. Leaving, packing my crew up, and we're out of here. And there is nothing you can do to stop me from doing this. Guy's like, well, yeah. And then so, dude, like 1:45, I give him a ring, and I'm going, I'm done, man. And he's like, well, you know, can you stay, you know, I just talked to my guy running the rock hound, and the one side of the place is going to be done, he said, in like 15 minutes. Is there any way you could stay and hurry up and spray that? And I'm like, nope, because I'm looking at where he's doing, and it's going to be another 45 minutes before he finishes that. And it would be another hour for me to spray that area out. So, no, go pound salt, buddy. I'm leaving. Packed my shit up and took off on him, man. That felt so goddamn good. Just to be able to just put this guy in his fucking place. And then I get back, and I'm talking to my boss, but I was like, yeah, I basically told him to pound salt, and I left. He's like, good, good. You told him off good? I'm like, yeah, I absolutely did. He goes, good. I'm going to call him and do the same thing now. So I sat in the office and listened to my boss tell the dude off, too.
That's funny.
Oh, it was great, man. He was like, we're never doing any more fucking work for you again. He goes, you know, the least you could do is just tell us the truth. I told you it was probably going to be too wet. You didn't want to listen to me. And now all of a sudden, we're the bad guys because you didn't uphold your end of the bargain. We upheld ours. We were there by the end of the week, just like you wanted. And we did everything that we absolutely could, but you wasn't ready like you said you would be. You've been renting that rock hound off of me for 2 weeks. That shit should be done. So when you're done with the rock hound, bring it back. We're never going to work with you again. I don't care how many houses you build and how much money you think you're throwing my way. I don't care. I was like, fuck yeah, Bosch.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah. So I have to just go ahead and give a big shout out to Mr. James Vance. That would be my boss. Cause he let me tell a dude off at work, and then he did the same thing, and that was awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome.
I want to give a shout out to Buttercup, and I also need to give a shout out to Doug Lyle. Why? Because this is another person who I have corrupted by bringing up Dan Carlin's hardcore history. I got yelled at again. Yeah, I know you saw that, Ryan.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. I love it.
You guys, I mean, the good thing is that once he gets caught up or whatever, he doesn't have to worry too much about missing other shows because he only does them once. Yeah, he does them once in a while. So
yeah, the average year is like 4 to 5 shows. And it's not very often that you get one. So I think, you know, once he catches up, he'll be all right and he'll understand. But right now, he's losing all of his life to hardcore history, and that is great. I'm glad that he's listening to him.
Yeah.
You got any shout outs there, bro?
Shout
out to shit. Fuck yeah.
Shout out to Megan. This weekend was cool. Shout out to the guy at FNM who like lost his shit when like we were in a real close match and I'm beating down with Chandra's Phoenix. Yeah, I played Burn again this last week just cause I like my matches over in 10 minutes. So it's like game three and he like thinks he's playing around my Chain of the Rocks and he goes Arbor Colossus. So I have to halt my attack in the air, right? And then, his buddy's like talking shit. Well, now look at that. He's like, that's out of burn range. And then, I'm like, eh, whatever. And I'm sitting on 5 land, right? And I'm like, he had a Storm Breath Dragon that he had revealed earlier off a Courser of Krufix that I had to waste the War Leader's Helix on, which is always a shame. But
how did you waste a War Leader's Helix on it?
He was gaining too much life off of it, man.
Okay. On a Storm Breath Dragon.
Oh, no, on the, Courser.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I'd known, before I killed it, I had known that he had a Storm Breath Dragon in hand, and I have 5 land, and I'm like, okay, so he just played Arbor Colossus, that's 6, and I know he's got a Storm Breath Dragon he's gonna follow up with. Well, if I hit a land, oh, it's on. So, needless to say, next turn, like, he plays, he attacks or whatever, I'm like, cool, chump blocks, next turn. Draw land, wait again, he plays, Storm Breath Dragon, attacks or whatever, big attack, and then the following turn I went, strive, harness by force.
Take 10.
He was gonna flip the table, dude. His buddy was sitting there like talking shit, like, oh, that is so out of burn range. Oh my god.
Not out of harness by force range.
And I just, I knew it was probably bad, play it that way, and like wait for the Storm Breath to come down and, you know, I was like, if I don't hit a land, I'll just take that and hit for 6, like, and I got it anyways, but, yeah.
Sweet.
It was pretty nasty, so shout out to that guy, cause, he ended up being cool after the match. He was just like, holy fuck, like, I did not see that coming, and you held it.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, he's like, why would you hold that with a 6-6, like, that you could have taken and swung for 8 with my Chandra's Phoenix? I was like, oh, value.
I got 2 more damage in.
Yeah.
Life is a resource. Until I get to 0, I'm gonna win this game.
Yeah, so I want to play something else. So I'm going to this Nia Walker's list, like I said. I just didn't have the night I wanted. So, but shout out to everyone that's joined the posse. Shout out to everyone that's on there. Like, seriously, it's been a real busy week with comments and shit. So I think we might have passed 152.
I think we might have. I don't know.
Well, that's pretty fucking sweet.
So. Speaking of the posse, I do got to bring this up. I was approached by a member of the posse in private whose name I'm not going to put out there because, you know, I don't want anybody yelling at him if they think differently. But he recommended to me to possibly make it a closed group because because basically the fact that it's an open group, it shows up on your main wall as well as the group wall.
Yeah, it does. I don't like that.
Yeah, but if it's, which I understand that side of it, but also like the idea of it being open also kind of leaves it to where it's like anyone can ask to be in and I can put them in. And it kind of feels more inclusive to anybody. Where closed kind of feels like, hey, it's our own party. But at the same time, like he said, he would also feel more comfortable posting deck lists if he knew that it was going to stay within the posse. So, guys, let me know what you think I should do.
I like that idea.
If it's time to close it up, it's time to close it up.
They still have to search for the podcast and ask to join, and they would have to do the same thing, I imagine, if it's a closed group, so.
Yeah, they would. If it's time to close it up, it's time to close it up. Let me know what you think. I like the whole openness behind it, but, you know, hey, I can go either way, you know, it's you guys' group more than it's mine, so let me know, especially you guys who are on there every day. Braden, I'm looking at you, brother.
Well, I have several of them.
So. Yeah, several of them. There are many of them, but let me know what you think. If you feel like it's time that I should close it, I'll close it. I mean, we do have a lot of...
Well, we also need, we need fucking Sid Meister to make an appearance again, please, so...
Yeah, he needs to talk more on there. It's been a while. He must have taken another little hiatus. Anyway. Ryan, how would people get a hold of you, bro?
Fucking, of course, the Facebook group we were just talking about, and,
Brother Ryan on Twitter.
Yeah, Brother Ryan on Twitter.
You do this every week. How can you forget that?
I don't know, man.
Like, it should be just like a part of a routine. Like, I have it down.
Yeah, I forgot it.
If you wanted to get a hold of me, you get a hold of me at Gongsu on Twitter. That's GANKSUOU. Same thing on MTGO. Also, you can find me at pitandpodcast@gmail.com if you have something just a little more long form that you'd like to send me, and I will be more than happy to answer that. Also, you can find me once in a blue moon on MTG Bro Deals, which you should probably go read that stuff regardless of whether I'm there or not, because it's pretty good goddamn content. See, that's hot stuff.
You should also, did you mention you should check out Brainstorm Brewery?
Oh, yeah. You should also check out Brainstorm Brewery, where you can also find this delectable show, as well as many other good shows and decent writing.
Yeah.
I have to fit that into my weekly spiel at some point.
At some point.
Yeah. So next week we are doing the We Pick'em insert, open mouth insert foot, which I know everybody loves because we get ragged on for a month afterwards.
Oh, we may get some good picks, though. There's no doubt about that. Also,
yeah, we'll get good picks. I mean, usually it's like the worst card in the set. The one that we pick as the worst is the one that we get ragged about.
I mean, I gotta say, picking Boon Seder was a hell of a sleeper.
It was. I've had some good picks. I've had some bad picks. Like, I mean, all in all, I do decent at these. It's not that hard to do, realistically. Like, if you can just kind of look at cards and have any idea of, like, how to judge a card, then it's really not that hard to do. I don't know. Maybe I'm stupid. Like, I saw the versatility. Like, that card specifically, like, I just saw the versatility in it. I'm like, yeah, this card's a C play.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of all I did, as cool as that is. But we're also gonna do, SCG Wars, Worcester!
Worcester!
Or Worcester. Cause that's how it's spelled.
Worcester.
So, we're gonna do Worcester, and, we're gonna do, SCG's gonna be up there, so we're gonna go over that before we, do our stupid pick'ems. And, until next week.
Hey, fuck yeah, Scandinavia.
Have a good one, folks, and do fuck yourself.